This week we're beginning our summer of being seated at the chef's table, watching God work. A chef's table is a table at a restaurant, usually back in the kitchen, always where at least where you can see the kitchen, where very special guests are invited to sit so they can watch their meal being prepared and interact with the chef. And this summer, we're going to be guided by some of the many stories about food and meals around the table in the Bible as we watch the master chef, God, at work. The amazing thing about God's table is that we're all invited. Everyone is invited. Everyone is a very special guest. As you came into worship today, I hope you received your paper plates and pen. You can go ahead and get those out, because today's sermon is interactive and we'll be using them several times. So to begin, in the middle of the plate, I want you to write God, or the name you most often use for God, Father, Mother, Jesus, Spirit, Lord, Friend, whatever's most comfortable for you, whatever name for God you want to use, right in the middle. Food and how we produce, distribute, consume it are important, right? And they're important in the life of God's people. We were formed to enjoy the lush profusion of the first garden, and even in the wilderness, through the gift of manna and the gathering of quails, we were able to discern God's providential care. Through Elijah's hand, God sustains the resources of the faithful widow in Zarephath, and gleaning laws that are throughout the Old Testament provide to distribute the land's bounty to impoverished widows and strangers and aliens on the margins of the community. Jesus feeds the crowds who become hungry for bread as well as his words, and Paul exhorts the churches to make their love feasts a place of welcome for the poor. When Jesus turns wholesome water into excellent wine for the wedding at Cana and calls us to prepare for the divine wedding banquet, we can see that food is to be enjoyed without guilt and shared with pleasure. Wendell Berry reminds us that when we eat with pleasure, we experience and celebrate our dependence and our gratitude, for we're living from mystery, from creatures we did not make and powers we cannot comprehend. Eating is a humble reminder that we aren't autonomous beings. We aren't independent. We're interdependent. Eating has the power to remind us daily of God's provision. And thus we pray about daily bread. Our scripture passage today points to the importance of remembering and giving thanks to the source of our meals and of all our blessings. The book of Deuteronomy is Moses' farewell speech before the Hebrew people enter the promised land after 40 years of being in the wilderness, fleeing from Egypt. Moses knows that because of his sin and lack of faithfulness, he won't be allowed to go with them. In fact, none of those who left Egypt as adults were allowed to enter the promised land because of that, other than two faithful spies, Joshua and Caleb. The others are the children of those who left. And Moses wants those children who are now grown, with children of their own, to be sure that they are prepared for their new life in this new land. And Moses begins this part of his speech by imploring the Israelites to remember. Remember the blessings that God had provided for them in the past when they were hungry in the wilderness. God provided food for them. As they wandered 40 years, He made sure they were clothed. It's natural that they might have wondered why they had to have that wilderness experience in the first place. But Moses tells them this was discipline. Just as loving parents discipline their children to be sure they learn important lessons, not as cruel punishment. When the Israelites failed to trust God fully, the consequence of their actions were this wilderness journey. And that time in the wilderness ensured that they would learn to depend utterly on God as they journeyed through an inhospitable environment. So I want to invite you to think for the next few minutes about your own life. How has God provided for you in the past? On your paper plate, write or draw about those times. How has God provided for you in the past? Moses continues by telling the people about the wonderful way in which God will be providing for them in the future as he keeps his promise of bringing them to the special land set aside for them. He says, "Keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and by fearing him, because the Lord your God is bringing you to a wonderful land, a land with streams of water, springs, and wells that gush up in the valleys and on hills, a land of wheat and barley, vines, fig trees, and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land where you will eat food without any shortage. You won't lack a thing there. A land where stone is hard as iron, and where you will mine copper from the hills. You will eat, you will be satisfied, and you will bless the Lord your God the wonderful land that he's given you." This list that Moses gives them is a reminder that the challenging time in the wilderness is finally coming to an end. It may have seemed to the Israelites that they would never arrive, but God always keeps God's promises, and God had promised them this land. There are times for us, too, when we may wonder what God is about, why bad things are happening to us or to others, and if God really does care for us. Throughout Scripture and throughout history, we're shown proof that God does care and God does keep promises to never leave or forsake us, to provide for us, to love us, even when we find it hard to believe. I think Moses begins by reminding the Israelites of past promises kept so they can believe in the future plans God has for them. So what does that mean for us? On your plate, I want you to write some promises that God has made that you are asking God to keep. What promise has God made that you want to see brought to fruition in your life? You may also choose to write your prayers for the future, things you most want God to do for you or for those you love. Moses goes on to show how well he knows human nature, because he finishes this part of the speech with a warning. Once you enter the promised land and are enjoying all that God has given, don't forget to thank God and to keep God's commandments out of gratitude for what God has done. Remember, it's God who has given all of this to you. Moses knows that once they're settled in this new, rich land, and they're comfortable, they'll begin to think more and more about their material possessions, their busy lives, and the many temptations increasingly occurring and occupying their hearts. They'll think that their good fortunes are more a result of their efforts than anything to do with God, and they'll stray from their faith. It's rarely when we don't have things that we forget about God. It's when we do have things. When we have an abundance, when we've eaten and are full, whether it is food or other blessings in our lives. That's when we're most likely to forget the one who gave us everything and made everything possible. It's a natural tendency. We see it again and again in Scripture. We see it again and again in our own lives, I think. And the solution to this natural tendency to forget the one who gives these blessings, or to even begin not to see the blessings themselves, the solution is gratitude. Because you see, if we're constantly giving thanks to God, then we're remembering the source of our gifts rather than priding ourselves on what we've accomplished on our own. It's easy to forget, to take for granted the blessings all around us. It's so easy to fail to see the beauty of God's hand in daily provision. Ralph Waldo Emerson once wrote that if the stars appeared only once every 1,000 years, people would do all they could to gather together that one evening and look up and behold the splendor of that event. Yet, he said, every night, these envoys of beauty appear in the sky and light the universe with their admonishing smile, and we barely take notice of them. God gives us food and makes it delicious. God could have made everything taste like kale, but he didn't. You can fill in the blank with what you don't like. When God gives us daily bread, it's varied and tasty, sweet, sour, spicy, bitter, delicious. What if this week you looked up in the sky and said a special thank you for each twinkling light? What if you were specific when you prayed before a meal, thanking God for the food, for those who grew it, or raised it, shipped it, sold it, cooked it? It might sound something like this.
They just sit there, watching us.
I wish I knew what they were thinking.
Food, glorious food. We're anxious to try it.
Stop this practice now. The plates can go home with you, and you can continue to record those things for which you are grateful. As we go through life, may we heed those words from Moses and remember that all we have is provided by God, and may remembering lead us to thanksgiving and to obedience. Thank you, God, for daily bread.